The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of BGN Memories, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to continue what we've been doing all season long, chronicling the 40th anniversary of the 1980 Philadelphia Eagles team that beat the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game and went to Super Bowl 15, the team's first Super Bowl in franchise history. We're going to talk today about the NFC divisional game that they played against the Minnesota Vikings at Veterans Stadium. It was a wild game. If you guys aren't familiar with this one, it was crazy how this game played out. But it was, of course, the game the Eagles won to move on to host the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. So a busy show to get to here in the next few minutes. And so let's dive right in to BGN Memories and let's look at this NFC divisional game between the Birds and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, just to catch you up on how the 1980 season finished, the Eagles went 12-4 and entered the playoffs as the 2 seed in the NFC. Many people think that the Eagles finished as the top team in the NFC, but they really weren't. It was actually the Atlanta Falcons, who also went 12-4 but held the tiebreaker over the Eagles, who went into the playoffs as the number 1 seed, and the Eagles were the number 2 seed. These two teams, the Eagles and Vikings, had met earlier in the season when the Birds destroyed them 42-7 at Veterans Stadium, but that was all the way back in Week 2. And as we know, during the course of an NFL season, a team can change dramatically. And that's what we saw with the Minnesota Vikings. They started off the first half of the season 3-5, but then finished at 9-7 on the season, winning 6 out of their last 8 games and won the NFC Central with that 9-7 record. And this was a team that was predicated on passing the football. They finished 3rd in the NFL in passing yards and not a very good team running the football, however. 27th in the NFL in rushing yards. Defensively, they were not a stout defensive team. In terms of passing defense, they were 24th in yards allowed. And in terms of rushing defense, they were 25th in yards allowed. So again, gave up a lot of offense. But in the second half of the season, the defense and the offense both played a whole lot better. And you could tell that it was a team that a lot of people felt was really starting to build momentum towards the end of the season. But they had some star caliber players on that team. They were coached by Bud Grant, legendary head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, took them to a number of Super Bowls in the 1970s. Tommy Kramer was the starting quarterback. He had a decent season in 1980. Again, they were a prolific passing team. He threw for 3,582 yards and had a quarterback rating of 72.2. The rating not so great because of his touchdown to interception ratio, 19 touchdowns to 23 interceptions for Tommy Kramer. And in this playoff game, the interception bug will bite Tommy Kramer pretty hard, and you'll see exactly why. Ted Brown was their leading rusher. He ran for 912 yards and 8 touchdowns on the season. The team's leading receiver, Ahmad Rashad, who kids of the 90s and 2000s might remember best for as the host of NBA Inside Stuff, I think is what the show was called. He's also known in the 80s as the guy who married Felicia Rashad, who played Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show, but he was also a damn fine wide receiver. He led the team in receiving yards with 1,103, and Sammy White on the other side of the field formed a devastating wide receiver combination. He caught 952 yards worth of passes. Both guys combined for 10 touchdowns. touchdowns. And then you had Joe Sensor, who caught seven touchdowns for the Minnesota Vikings. So it was a pass-heavy offense that really did a good job getting the ball down the field when Kramer was not turning the ball over. And so this is the situation that faced the Eagles defense. And of course, the Eagles defense was among the best in the NFL. You look at what they did during the course of the regular season. They finished seventh overall in passing defense. They finished fifth overall in passing defense, and they finished second overall in rush defense. So this was an Eagles team that matched up pretty well with the Minnesota Vikings and really matched up well with any other offense that came down the pike in 1980. So let's get to the ballgame here, and let's take you out to Veterans Stadium, where Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire were on the call for CBS.
This is the point where I usually say good afternoon, but I want to change that to cold afternoon. It's 28 degrees with the wind chill factor. It's 10 degrees in Philadelphia. Pat Summerall here with Tom Brookshire. You're close to the Eagles. You know them very well. What do you think?
I think they're very worried. They would like to throw away the 42-7 score and get on with this game. In the last half of the year, Kramer has proven that he's a lot like Roger Staubach. He's very good when he is pressured, when he runs outside. They're a good screen team, and the Eagle linebackers will be pressured.
A lot of people say that the Vikings perhaps do not belong in this game, but as you look at the second half of the season, only Atlanta had a better record than they did. They were coming on strong at the end, but Grant says we're a better team than we were, obviously. We'll just have to wait and see how much better we are.
And the Eagles came into the game dealing with an injury at their wide receiving core. Actually, they were pretty banged up at the wide receiver position. Scott Fitzke got the start in place of Charles Smith, who was out with an injury. And you'll hear later in the game, Scott Fitzke actually gets hurt. And so the Eagles were down to two wide receivers at one point in this ball game. So the Vikings got the opening kickoff and drove down the field right away, scoring a touchdown on their first series to go up 7-0.
Here's Kramer looking deep. Touchdown, Sammy White. Minnesota breaks on top. A strike. Randy Logan was the Philadelphia defender, but Kramer hung it right there for Sammy White.
Sammy White ran a post. That's his 54th catch of the year. He doesn't have the great speed, but boy, he has soft hands and great concentration.
Tommy Kramer there to Sammy White on the 30-yard touchdown drive, and the Vikings passing offense, you could see why they were so good on this drive. Tommy Kramer completing chunk yard passes as the Vikings moved down the field against the Eagles defense that was offering very little resistance whatsoever. Now, the Eagles answered with a long opening drive of their own, eventually getting inside the Vikings' 10-yard line, led mostly by the powerful running of Wilbert Montgomery, who had an injury-plagued season in 1980. The season before, he ran for 1,500 yards, but in this one, really accounted for only about half of that, as he missed a number of games with injuries, was really banged up. But the Eagles had a first and goal from the 6-yard line. They weren't able to get it any closer than that, however. On a third and goal from the 6, they ran the ball on a pitch to the outside. Fans today would go ballistic if Eagles coaches called a play like that. Tony Franklin came out for a 24-yard field goal, which was blocked by the Vikings, who got the ball back, and the Vikings special teams were terrific all season long.
From 24 yards out.
He's 13 of 20, out to the 39.
Blocked! As the Vikings so often do. And Minnesota will take over. The Eagles kept the ball a long time and got nothing for it.
Down 7-0, the Eagles actually pulled off a fake punt later in the first quarter, but it was called back due to a penalty. So the offense is sputtering, as Ron Jaworski did not get off to a good start on a very cold day. And the running game with a hobbled Wilbert Montgomery, he was pretty healthy to start off the game, but started to limp around as the game went on. He wasn't clicking either early in the first quarter and the second quarter. So later in the second quarter, the Vikings built their lead to 14-0 after a long drive was capped off by this one-yard blast from running back Ted Brown.
Minnesota leading 7-0 and trying to get more. Brown has more. Minnesota goes to 13-0 over Philadelphia. Rick Danmeyer will come on and try to make it 14. So with 5.5 minutes left to play in the first half, the Vikings on top, 13-0 now.
And they're playing pretty much errorless type football.
It's at this point Eagles defensive coordinator Marion Campbell, known as the Swamp Fox, really started to get on his players, whose defense allowed a league-low 222 points during the regular season, but he was screaming at his defensive troops on the sideline after the heavily favored Eagles fell behind by two touchdowns. And you can hear this in the Eagles. The Eagles put out, right after the 2004 season, a History of the Franchise 2 DVD set, and you can hear the Swamp Fox yelling at his players on the sideline.
I'll tell you what you better do. I can watch you. You're walking around out there with your finger up your ass, and you ain't hitting the damn zone. Name of the game, man, is hit. It's pursuing. It's working. We're not doing even. I'll tell you what. They go down here and score. It's your job to win it. And I want to see you do it.
Eventually, the offense got going at the end of the second quarter and finally got on the board, capped off by a beautiful throw from Jaworski to Harold Carmichael, who hauled in this 9-yard score with his fingertips.
Second and goal from the 9. Great throw from Jaworski. Fine catch by Carmichael.
What a catch on a cold day. Carmichael that time barely had a chance to get his hands up. And when Jaworski wants to go ahead and throw cork, he can really throw it. Off speed, he loses a little touch, but this is a quick drop. Wham!
So at halftime, the Eagles had sleptwalked through most of the first half of a game in which they were heavily favored to win and went into the locker room down 14-7. They had actually outplayed the Vikings in a lot of ways when you look at the stat sheet. In terms of offensive plays, the Eagles ran more offensive plays than the Vikings, 38-26. They had more first downs, 13-9, more rushing yards, 45-16, more passing yards, 126-111, and more total yards, 181 to the Vikings, 127. Neither quarterback was bathing themselves in glory in the first half. Jaworski just 12 for 22 for 134 yards and a touchdown. Tommy Kramer was 11 for 17 for 125 yards and a touchdown. The Eagles dominated time of possession, 18-15 to the Vikings, 11-45. But the Vikings led on the scoreboard where it mattered most, 14-7. And Eagles fans at Veterans Stadium were pretty nervous. And coming up, we're going to get to the second half and an unbelievably wild late third quarter, early fourth quarter in this game, coming up after the break here on BGN Memories.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back on BGN Memories. So the Eagles really kind of in many ways dominated the Vikings in the first half of their NFC divisional playoff game here in 1980. But the Vikings led on the scoreboard. In the third quarter, the Eagles would absolutely take control, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But first, offensively, the Birds tied the game after a beautiful throw from Jaws to Carmichael down the right sideline where Jaws got destroyed in the pocket. That eventually led to this Wilbert Montgomery run from 8 yards out to tie the game at 14.
Hand off goes to Montgomery. Oh, a touchdown goes to Montgomery.
A little bit. He can't be over 203 or 4 pounds. From Abilene Christian College, a 6th-round draft choice. Last year, 1,500 yards. This year, a little over 700, and he has really been hobbled. But watch the effort. touchdown number 9.
It was at this point this NFC divisional playoff game started to become one of the weirdest and ugliest playoff games in NFL history. As the Vikings were driving the ball down the field, Kramer threw the first of what would be a staggering 6 interceptions here in the second half alone.
Intended for White again, and picked off by the Philadelphia Eagles, Roynell Young. First down, Philadelphia. At their own 6.
Good pass rush by Claude Humphrey, number 87. That time Kramer just skipped a little bit before he threw it. Here's Sammy White going up to start to go in, runs a 9, a fly. Roynell looked back for the ball, got it under control. Some slight contact, but no flag.
That's the first turnover of this contest, and the Eagles have it.
After the interception, the Eagles had the ball deep in their own territory, and in response, the Eagles lost 3 yards on a running play through an incompletion, and then on 3rd and long, Minnesota went back on top briefly with a rare safety.
Jaworski finally gets rid of it.
Safety. Intentional grounding out of the end zone. What a blitz the Vikings came with. No receiver there.
Nobody anywhere near. And Minnesota goes ahead 16-14.
So after Jaworski took that sack or that intentional grounding in the end zone, the Vikings were back on top 16-14 midway through the third quarter, and fans are still nervous in the stands, no doubt about it. From this point on, however, the Eagles' defense took total control. After a 3-and-out, the Eagles punted to Walter Payton's older brother, Eddie, who muffed the punt, which was then recovered by the Eagles.
Eddie Payton back at the 25-yard line for Minnesota. Good kick this time by Runnigan. Payton can't find the handle. Ball is loose. The Eagles come up with it. Reggie Wilkes makes the recovery for Philadelphia.
In playoff games, that bobble in the second half is the one that can send you home or send you on. Reggie Wilkes is an outstanding linebacker that simply has to come in on nickel defenses and special teams. That wind is swirling up there. Oh, what a scramble for the ball, and now the contact. And 51 went under and got it.
The Eagles moved the ball inside the 10, where Montgomery ran it in from 5 yards out for his second touchdown of the day, as the Eagles finally went on top 21-16.
It'll be first and goal at the 5 with a minute and a half left in the third quarter. Minnesota leading 16-14. Carmichael in motion, gets back to Montgomery. Montgomery will score standing up. Leroy Harris with the key block.
Perot, number 62. Number 2 draft pick out of Northwest Louisiana. And they'll find you, folks. If you can play football, you'll make it, because they cover it all. Carmichael goes in motion. 62 gets out. Leroy Harris gets out. Perot just actually keeps rolling and cut Matt Blair off.
It is at this point where the mayhem of this football game truly started. On Minnesota's next possession, Kramer was strip-sacked by Carl Hairston, which the Birds recovered.
Kramer drops. Pressure again. Fumble. And the Eagles have it again. What a play by Carl Hairston, who made the sack and the fumble recovery. Is he happy?
I'd say he is.
On the very next play, Wilbert Montgomery fumbles, and the Vikings get the ball right back.
Jaworski brings this Eagles out quickly also. 1st and 10. 44-yard line of Minnesota. Here's Montgomery. Doing a fumble by Montgomery. And the Vikings get it right back. Kurt Knopf made the recovery.
But Minnesota turns it right back over to the Eagles as Ken Clark recovers a Vikings fumble.
1st down Vikings. Minnesota. With Philadelphia leading 21-16, here comes Berge out, along with John Butting. Pascal again, the lone setback.
Pass rush is in.
And off pitch out to Pascal. And Pascal breaks a tackle, has another Minnesota first down. Fumble. Philadelphia has it back. Robinson made the tackle, and the Eagles get it. Four turnovers now.
That's only the fifth fumble that the Vikes have made on offense all year long, the 17th game. A great play against the pass rush. The toss to the weak side. Reggie Wilkes is caught inside a little bit. Can't quite make the tackle. Pascal looks like he's going here, and Jerry Robinson forces the fumble.
Minnesota now has four turnovers on the game to the Eagles one, but we're nowhere near done here, folks. On the following possession, Jaworski, after nearly getting strip sacked himself and losing a fumble, throws this pick.
Vikings pressuring Jaworski. He gets away from a couple, goes deep. It's picked off by Minnesota, intended for Rodney Parker, and Tommy Hannon came up with it.
And then, on the very next play, the Eagles pick off Kramer again, Herm Edwards, with this interception.
7 of 11 from this distance, the year.
Jaworski to hold it. Good.
You don't think this Aggie's happy, do you, Tony Franklin?
And on the following Eagles possession, Jaws throws another pick.
Vikings pressuring Jaworski. He gets away from a couple, goes deep. It's picked off by Minnesota, intended for Rodney Parker, and Tommy Hannon came up with it.
Which is then followed by a Frank LeMaster interception of Tommy Kramer.
Kramer will go on first down, try to get a block cover. It's picked off by Frank LeMaster. LeMaster running to the 15 where the Eagles will have it. Turnover after turnover.
That's only the second interception for number 55. The big guy out of Kentucky, and he's big at 238. The ball came off Tucker's hands. He's trying to sneak under. He does a delay and then comes under. I think the official might have gotten in the way of Tucker a little bit. Looked like Tucker was looking at somebody that turned out to be a fella in a zebra shirt.
That's right, kids. Eight turnovers in nine possessions combined. And it isn't until this Frank LeMaster interception deep in Vikings territory that the Eagles finally take advantage of a game the Vikings are trying to hand to them on a silver platter. The Eagles didn't move the football after getting this interception, but it did lead to this barefooted Tony Franklin field goal that gave the Birds an 8-point lead.
7 of 11 from this distance, the year.
Jaworski to hold it. Kick is good.
You don't think this Aggie's happy, do you, Tony Franklin?
And remember, gang, an 8-point lead in the NFL back in 1980 is a two-possession game because the NFL did not have the 2-point conversion at that point. So there's a huge difference between 7 points and 8 points. And Kramer now down two scores midway through the fourth quarter, trying to get his team back. And of all the teams that could do it, again, the Vikings were a great passing team. They could absolutely come back midway through the fourth quarter down eight. But the Eagles' 3-4 defense listened to the Swamp Fox and pinned their ears back and forced yet another Kramer interception to Herm Edwards, his second of the day.
Kramer with good protection. Throws picked off. Herman Edwards. Edwards goes out of bounds. Ahmad Rashad, the intended receiver, but Philadelphia has the ball at the Minnesota 31.
A free agent from San Diego State gets his second interception. Herm was at California when Bartkowski and Ferragamo were there. He decided, well, I think I'll go to San Diego and play. A free agent that has done such a job with the Eagles.
So now the Eagles have the ball back with a chance to ice the game. And with Montgomery on the sideline nursing an injured leg, Jaworski leads the team back downfield, and Perry Harrington plunged into the end zone from 2 yards out for the final score of the day.
It'll be first and goal at the 5 with a minute and a half left in the third quarter. Minnesota leading 16-14. Carmichael in motion, gets back to Montgomery. With the key block.
And a good block downfield by Petey Perreault, number 62. Number 2 draft pick out of Northwest Louisiana. And they'll find you, folks, if you can play football, you'll make it because they cover it all. Carmichael goes in motion. 62 gets out. Leroy Harris gets out. Burrow just actually keeps rolling and cut Matt Blair off.
And with that, the Eagles were headed to their first ever NFC Championship game. The final statistics from this absolutely bonkers NFC divisional playoff game. The Eagles had 10 more first downs than the Vikings, 24-14, and the Vikings turned the ball over 8 times compared to the Eagles 3 times. You turn the ball over 3 times in a playoff game, you're not likely to win, but when your opponent turns it over 8 times, you're in pretty good shape. All 8 turnovers forced by the Eagles were done so in a span of 22 minutes in the second half. Tommy Kramer finished 19 of 39 for 209 yards, 1 touchdown, 6 interceptions, and 3 sacks for a QB rating of 34. Jaworski wasn't a whole lot better. 17 of 38, 190 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, and 2 sacks, one of them for a safety for a quarterback rating of 47. Wilbert Montgomery led the team in rushing yards, 26 attempts, but only 74 yards on the ground, but those 2 touchdowns. Harold Carmichael was the leading receiver on the day, 7 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. The offenses really were sputtering for most of the afternoon. The defensive stats were what were really eye-opening. Herm Edwards and Roynell Young each had 2 interceptions. LeMaster had 1. And Carl Hairston, Ken Clark, and Reggie Wilkes all recovered fumbles, while Hairston had 2 sacks on the day, and Claude Humphrey had 1. And I said a moment ago that Tommy Kramer had 6 interceptions. Forgive me, 5 interceptions on the day for Tommy Kramer. There were 3 fumbles for Minnesota during this unbelievably sloppy NFC divisional game. So at this point, the game is over, and the Eagles don't know who they're going to play because the Dallas Cowboys and Atlanta Falcons still have to play their NFC divisional game, but it's clear who Eagles fans want it.
We want Dallas! Dallas! We hate you! Dallas! Right here! At the vet!
So on Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons, who again were the number one seed with an identical 12-4 record, but held a tiebreaker over the Eagles, they were hosting the Dallas Cowboys in the other NFC divisional game, and it looked for a while like the Eagles were going to have to go to Atlanta and take on the Falcons. Atlanta jumped out to a 24-10 lead in the fourth quarter, but the Cowboys surged and outscored the Falcons 20-3 in the final quarter to pull off not a huge upset, but a minor upset, 30-27. And so, Eagles fans would get what they were hoping for. As the 2 seed, they would host the Dallas Cowboys, who they had split the season series with at Veterans Stadium, in the team's first ever NFC Championship game the following week, which we will break down next week here on BGN Memories, that legendary day at Veterans Stadium when the Eagles defeated the Cowboys for their first ever NFC title. Folks, that's going to do it for this edition of BGN Memories. Thanks for jumping back into the time machine with me and looking back on this forgotten, really a forgotten game in Eagles history. And folks, don't forget to check out my other Eagles podcast, Eye on the Enemy. I had Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports on the podcast to preview this weekend's slate of NFL divisional games. We're going to go over all 4 games, and we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles head coaching search as well. So make sure to check out Eye on the Enemy, as well as all the other great podcasts we've got for you here at the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll talk to you next time here on BGN Memories.